Good morning, everybody. We are live here again. It's Sunday morning, 10:30 on the 25th of February. And again, we are here to bring one of our sources to you and to us, which is a real joy to be keeping on sharing other people that we love's work. It was really gorgeous to do that with Joy's blog item last time, and this week, Justin and I are teaching a PCC session three, which is session three of our PCC professional coaching course year-long program. And this is session three of four. And so this is why we're coming to you a little bit later today, but we're teaching on this program with Steve, who wrote this poem. And so when I was looking for the source this week, I said to him, do you have anything that would be meaningful for us to share to include you in our project? And he said, oh, funnily enough, I've written a poem just this week. So it was a really sweet serendipitous thing that he had something he could bring to us. So this is a poem by our friend and colleague Steve that we'll be sharing today and then speaking about. And Steve, if you're watching this at some point, you won't be watching now because you're in the classroom while we are outside of it, but we wanted to include you, and hello if you're here watching with us. The reason we're doing it at this time is that the people on our coaching program are coaching one another for a few hours, practicing this thing that we're learning, which means that we get to step outside and leave them to it a little bit while we do this video, which is really good timing. So welcome here, everybody. Welcome if you're new. Welcome if you have been here for a while. Welcome if you're watching later. We are really grateful that you're here and to be sharing this brilliant poem with you as well.
So I'm going to add my welcome to everyone. I'm, as always, really thrilled to be doing this. And I was speaking to Steve earlier about this poem that he gave us, and he told me that he had written this for his own students in a program that he's in the midst of developing. And one of our great joys is that Steve is he's with us from California this week, but he's also teaching a program, bringing his newest work to the world with us this coming weekend. And this source was written to support this very profound and important and deep way of supporting people in development that Steve is bringing to the world. So that's, I know where it comes from, but it also has implications and possibilities way beyond the particular class and method of coaching that Steve is now teaching. So shall I start first, Lizzie?
Yeah.
So it's called Letting Be, a poem to welcome a fellow journeyer. Dear journeyer, you are welcome here, exactly as you are. No one here will try to change you according to their ideas or ideals. No one here wants you to be otherwise. We will let you be just as you are. Only then can we celebrate your perfect uniqueness. Letting be is a gift of love that we give to you. Love of your truth, love of your beauty, love of your goodness. Only then can we relish your luminous brilliance. Letting be is a gift of love that you can give yourself to. Letting be, your heart will melt, your mind will open, your body will release. Letting be, your creativity will rocket forth. Letting be, your innate resourcefulness will amaze you. Only then can you behold your true magnificence. The sun beams just for you. The mountain salutes your majesty. The river of life guides you within its currents. The universe is your playground. Welcome home, dear journeyer.
Quite something to receive that. I'm going to read now. Letting be. Dear journeyer, you are welcome here exactly as you are. No one here will try to change you according to their ideas or ideals. No one here wants you to be otherwise. We will let you be just as you are. Only then can we celebrate your perfect uniqueness. Letting be is a gift of love that we give to you. Love of your truth, love of your beauty, love of your goodness. Only then can we relish your luminous brilliance. Letting be is a gift of love that you can give yourself to. Letting be, your heart will melt, your mind will open, your body will release. Letting be, your creativity will rocket forth. Letting be, your innate resourcefulness will amaze you. Only then can you behold your true magnificence. The sun beams just for you. The mountain salutes your majesty. The river of life guides you within its currents. The universe is your playground. Welcome home, dear journeyer.
So I'm immediately struck by how little letting be we allow ourselves in the culture in which most of us have grown up. And the tension, the apparent tension that it seems between, there is between, there's some way that we have our culture set up, Lizzie, that we have learning, developing, having things happen in the world, be in opposition to letting be. Like our main project is somehow to fix ourselves or make ourselves into a different kind of something than we are, which is a deeply shame-filled activity. In fact, I think it uses shame to keep itself going. And I noticed in myself, one of the reasons I'm saying it this way right from the start is I noticed in myself as you were reading the poem, the part of me that objects to Steve's poem, there's a part of me that goes, yeah, but if I were to let myself be and let other people be, then this wouldn't happen and that wouldn't happen and this wouldn't happen and all these important things, and I'd be falling short and all of that. That part shows me, I'm drawing on that part to show me something about this wider narrative that we can so easily be in, that something else is always called for apart from who we already are and who we're already in the midst of becoming. So this is the other part of it that I see from Steve's work here, is we're already in the midst of becoming whatever it is that we're becoming, and we can attend to that and take care of that and welcome it. We don't have to keep on abandoning ourselves, beating ourselves, beating other people up for not being the way that we want them to be. That's what this is inviting in, it seems to me.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the part that you said around that shame keeps this going. And it occurs to me that shame is where this got born in the first place. You know, and I think of all the ways that we try and, for example, with our kids, have them be in a certain way that doesn't produce shame for us as their families or their parents. And how, like in my life, I mean, it's my niece's birthday today. We're all together celebrating her. And when she was born 11 years ago, there was so much around the way my sister and her husband were bringing her into the world and parenting her that I thought, oh, she's going to be unruly. She's going to be, you know, we need to do the opposite of let be. Because like, what if she becomes like a person that doesn't get by in the world? You know, I was fearful of us not guiding her enough, us not telling her who she needed to be enough. And her presence in my life has been the greatest undoing and evidence of what happens when you let be. And there is this gloriousness of her now as an 11-year-old person who has been allowed to be herself. And the kind of person that she is extraordinary. And I too had and have this, the part that you're calling the pieces, the piece that objects to this, which is built of fear and of shame, which is if I don't, you know, work on myself or correct things that I see are not okay, then how do I know things are going to turn out okay? Whatever turning out means, you know, we don't even know what that means. And yet we have this kind of concrete feel of, well, if I do this, then it will all be okay. If I constrain things in this particular way, if I tell somebody what I think of them, if I do something to kind of, in an attempt to control the outcome, then things are more likely to be okay. So this kind of radical approach that Steve's writing about, it's like it brings up everything that's unlike it to be seen by in the saying of it, is how I'm experiencing it. So to be invited into letting be shows me all the parts of myself that can't do that, that feels stubborn about that, that goes, yeah, but what if it's kind of this kind of situation or that kind of situation where somebody needs to be told, or this kind of radical invitation to acceptance, really acceptance of other people and how they are and where they are, and of course myself as well, that I don't need to be improved or polished or better than the way I am right now.
There's this really fascinating to me tension in here, because I think it would be, you know, Lizzie, we're right in the middle of teaching a coaching program. Of course, you know this, but I'm saying this for the sake of everyone else who's with us. And coaching, at least the way we do it, is always a combination of letting be and of bringing ourselves, bringing something we can see, bringing some invitation or guidance or language or possibility. And I'm saying it this way because I'm also thinking about the bringing up of children, and I'm also thinking about education schools and what we do in our organizations and all of those kind of things. And I think there's a distinction between, so letting be could sound like, I'll never say anything. I'll never say anything to you. I'll never give you any kind of guidance. My job is just to let you be. But if we just move out of the human world and think about what it is to raise a rose bush, You can see that the letting be of a rose bush always involves us bringing ourselves in relationship to it. We have to do things. We have to prune. We have to water. We have to fertilize. We have to help the aphids get out of the way and go somewhere else. We have to, you know, whatever it is that we're going to do in order that the rose bush can be allowed to let be. So the unfolding of the rose bush into its aliveness is not. An act of abandonment, just as raising a child is not an act of abandonment. And it would be, you know, just to bring this into sharp focus, for example, with raising a child, but it's no different to how we treat one another in the world of work, for example. It would not be letting be to allow your child to run out into the street, into the path of a car, and just go, well, I'm just letting her be. So the radical invitation in Steve's poem is not what it might first seem to be, which is a kind of disengagement, a kind of, I'm not involved, it doesn't matter what happens here. And yet at the same time, and Steve points to this really clearly where he says, we will not try to change you into what we think you ought to be. And that, I think, is at least for me, is the way in, and it raises this deep and very important practical question, which is how we bring ourselves to ourselves and to others in a way that is not imposing some idea that we have of how we should be, that allows our aliveness and capacity and generosity and all of those virtues to flow through, but at the same time we don't absent ourselves and go, it doesn't matter what happens here. Because if we think that life matters and people matters, it also calls on us to be in relationship with one another. So I'm writing in the interplay of this very sort of alive tension between what seemed like opposites.
Yeah.
And aren't, actually.
Yeah, and I think the distinction for me is where... So to be able to make the distinction between something that's an invitation or something that's the pruning of the bush or taking the aphids away and making my rosebush into a mission of topiary, so that I know I'm determining the shape of the rosebush just for my own preference.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have to be onto myself as to what the ways I'm trying to control or maneuver, just so that I'm okay. So I have to be able to make the distinction of when this is about me and when this is about another person, in order to truly be in service to myself or to another. And it feels to me like Steve's talking about the line, that the continual working out as human beings that we have to do, of when is this my agenda and when is what I think born of my preference of how I think the world should be, versus when am I in support of the natural unfolding and becoming of what's before me, whether it's me or another or a rosebush. And how do I know, and what kind of inner work am I up to that I can make that distinction and catch myself and be kind in all the ways that I fail in that too? Because we will, because it's hard to tell many times. It's really hard to tell when something is born of fear. You know, even the distinction you make about letting a child run across the road, I know that I have that fear in me even when they're nowhere near the road, which is my stuff. It's not to do with keeping them safe. It's actually my fear. And sometimes my fear is helpful and sometimes my fear is really detrimental, because they feel it and then they do less and then they are cross with me that I've kind of held them back because I feel frightened on their behalf. And so it seems to be in this moment, this poem is kind of calling me back to my own work of making the distinction of when this is really my process and it's about me, versus the times when I know that I'm in service of something unfolding, something that's genuinely of support of another, of another life, and of myself as well. So as usual, as we get into these discussions, there's like loads of different distinctions being born of what this is, what this is really about, and this gift that we can give one another of relationship, that we can bring these matters into relationship, that we might even be able to make that distinction in the first place, seems to me to be born of relationship as well.
You're making really powerful distinction here, Lizzie, about, you said this earlier in our conversation, when the way that we relate to others, apparently in support of their own development or of their own learning, is in fact a response to our own fear or shame.
Mm-hmm.
And how often the way that we take care of others has got something to do with who it will make me in the world if you turn out this way. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of what we're in also is in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I see this in parenting, but I can see this in leading or organizing or even being a friend or certainly being in a relationship with another person, which is, what I'm really doing is I want you to be this way because then that will have me be this kind of person, and I'm kind of on the lookout for what other people are making of the kind of person I am and the kind of status I have relative to other people, and acting to corral you or to shape you in such a way that I get to be the person that will apparently address my fear or my shame.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think this happens in marriages and relationships so much all the time. You know, where we go, well, if you're that kind of person, then that makes me look a certain way or be a certain way in other people's minds, when they're actually a different human being. Because there's a marriage, because there's a relationship, because there's an identity connection, if you like, that person then becomes an expression of who I am in the world by proxy, kind of thing. And I think that's a really big thing. And it's the same with our kids, and it's the same with, like, so for in our coaching class at the moment, you know, I was in a discussion with the group yesterday about our clients becoming an expression of whether we're a good coach or not. You know, if something good happens for you, or if something moves, that makes me look good. And it's like, oh my goodness, what is my agenda? Am I doing this to kind of bolster myself? Am I doing this to be a better person in the world, just so that I've got evidence of my value just because I helped somebody. Like, you know, all of this is so much in it where the product of our interaction needs to be a certain way in order that we feel our own value, because we've lost sense of our own value and our own inherent contribution that we make by being us. And then we try and get that justified outside of us in all kinds of ways.
It's really striking me as you're talking about that we can fold this back onto ourselves. So what I mean by that is, once we start to see that a lot of the way that we are with other people and the way that we're trying to guide them and shape them is actually a profound act of unwelcome, because we're trying to have them be such a way that we can then be the kind of person that other people would see us in a particular way, we can start to see how we're doing this to ourselves all the time. Because if I know that I'm up to that with other people, what I also am is being vigilant all the time about the way in which I have to fit in with other people's projects to feel good about themselves and to make me. So we look at this, you know, we look at our parents and we look at our partners and we look at our loved ones, and we're scanning all the time. So now am I doing what our sort of shame warning systems, if that's the right way of saying it, are on the lookout for all the times that we don't show up to be the kind of person, when we show up to be the kind of person that triggers another person's shame, and then we're backing off from ourselves. Oh, I can't be this kind of person because of the way that they're on the lookout for me, just in the way that I'm in the lookout for the way of being of another person.
Yeah.
All of this is a very profound kind of unwelcome to ourselves and others that we don't even get that we're doing. You know that this is going on, except maybe we can feel it. We can feel a way that we're at odds with ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is why Steve's invitation, that might look at first like a kind of, oh, whatever will be, is such a radical and necessary invitation, because the way through all of this is to act in profound and deep welcome to the way that we already are. And so I think probably the part of me that I could feel objecting, you know, much as there's a part of me that deeply loves what Steve is saying, the part of me that objects is the part that is afraid and ashamed and on the lookout for where I am, and we all are, in relationship to one another and to looking good and feeling safe. And I'm doing my best to try and say this is a multi-way relational issue where we're all affecting one another all the time in our not welcoming ourselves.
Yeah.
For the kinds of beings and the kind of goodness that we already are. So this is not some kind of airy fairy, wouldn't it be lovely if just everybody welcomed everyone another sort of utopian ideal. This is a really deep, profound call to cutting through something that keeps us so much smaller than we need be and keeps our aliveness away from the world.
Yeah, and it removes us from any kind of connection, because if we're all dancing the dance of the other person's tune, there isn't really a tune. It's like if I'm trying to fit in the way that I think you think you would have me fit in to minimize your shame, and I'm fitting in to minimize your shame, like we're both up to it, there is a song that's going on that neither of us are hearing, because we're each dancing to something that's born of a misperception of or a looking in the wrong place for what everything is made of. And so it feels to me that we're probably doing this for most of and all of our lives, and in this moment there's a kind of an arresting opportunity for going, hold on, where is this happening? How am I participating, either as the person requiring people to be a certain way, or I'm responding to others in their requirement for me to be a certain way? And then if I'm not doing or up to either of those things, what's left? Like what's life then? And does that give me, in the noticing of that, does that give me a chance to encounter life in a really different way? Maybe it opens up something to inquire into, that, you know, what's here rather than all of our wrangles. to do with one another and how we want, you know, what our judgments are and how we want people to be different and behave in certain ways. And so I think the letting be invitation is also an invitation of attunement to life itself and allowing everyone to stand where they stand, but not coming from this agenda of having everybody come to my side or something. Sorry, I just got a note from Bo. She just popped a note in the door. It says, I'm 11, it just went 10:41. She's just turned 11 because she was born at 10:41.
I've been joined by Bo. Happy birthday, Bo.
You say hi. Justin just said happy
hi,
birthday.
Hi, Justin. Hello.
The actual birthday girl has arrived.
It's so good to see you, Bo. And you're live online with who knows how many hundreds of people celebrating your birthday with you this morning.
I didn't know that. I was just eating, sorry.
No. It's wonderful to see you.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll see you in a minute.
So, Bo is such a gorgeous example of everything that we've been talking about. I don't know if you heard what I said there, Lizzie, of bringing yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we got to see her and everyone got to meet her.
I know, she's just amazing. 10:41.
Yeah.
It's her actual birth time.
Actual birth time. Mm-hmm. So this dynamic we're in, you just said it, I think, really clearly, where we're in this multi-dimensional supersensitivity to our own shame, our own fear, and other people's shame and other people's fear. And listening to a song that we don't even know that's being sung, or playing to a song that we don't know is being sung. And one of the reasons I think that this conversation we're having is really important, and Steve's poem and the kind of work that Steve's up to in the world is really important, is because it's not just that this is going on between us as a very ordinary social process. It's also going on in many of the structures and institutions that we have around us. And it's also going on in, particularly in the way that the economic system in which we live draws on this. So marketers have very often learnt how to play on this dynamic of fear and shame. Mm-hmm. And we keep on getting told, you're fine, and please do what you can to bring your own goodness and particularity to the world, but actually you're not fine, but you would be fine if you were more like this person or this person or this person. Mm-hmm. That's actually what we're being shown repeatedly. Yeah. And it feels this, it makes it enormously hard to keep, to come back to ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is why we need people around us who will welcome us, as well as we need to develop practices of welcoming ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's no wonder that it's so hard for us to do. And it's no wonder, the part of me that objected, that very quickly went, yeah, but, and had this long list of objections to this very simple act of warm, radical welcome. Because we're being fed it all the time and feeding it to each other. We're part of it, of course.
And I receive that as like, you'll be acceptable when, you'll be successful if, you'll have value if. Like, there's all of this kind of conditionality on our acceptability or our worth that is somewhere in the future or dependent on some acquisition or some way of living, you know, having something, being something. And so the radicalness of this for me as well is actually inquiring into the beyond of all of the if statements that our world has in it all the time, in our magazines and televisions and corporations. And it really undoes so much of that pressure to be welcomed in this way, that someone can sit and be letting be with you, to let you be, is so in opposition to the most of what's going on in our relationships and in our culture and work lives and in just society in general, like the kind of the general soup of expectation of what we should be and what shape our bodies should be, how much money we should have, what kind of success we should be, where we should be, location-wise even. Like there's, depending on what circles you're in, there's all these ways that we're falling short all the time compared to the standards that are being laid out for us.
Yes.
Either in our mistaken perception or like actually through the media that we are exposed to, and it's really big.
Well, there's a way in which this is always at play. One of the great perils of this and the great suffering that's caused is that it's what we tell ourselves and what we allow ourselves to be told as well, because it's deeply in our culture, is,
yeah.
as you said, Lizzie, is you'll be welcome when.
Mm.
So you'll be welcome when you're successful enough. You'll be welcome when you have this amount of money in your bank account. You'll be welcome when you have this kind of house. I mean, this is a big part of the culture that we're in. You'll be welcome when you have a job with requisite status. You'll be welcome when. From what I can see, the process of the structure of being in comparison with other people never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So when I speak to people who have by one set of standards made it in the world and ought to be able to welcome themselves, what I hear is, yes, but this person, if only I had a house that was twice as big as mine because another person has it, or a mm-hmm. better car or a yacht. I mean, if I sort of go right up at that end and sort of the world of owning of material things, will have that this never stops. There's never a place in which it stops.
Yeah.
So we're mostly acting mostly involved in an act of profound not welcoming ourselves. Working on, this is what I'm trying to say, is working on getting ourselves welcomed in ways that will never get us welcomed. And in the process, something else that is of deep importance in our culture, working on not welcoming those who we perceive as being behind us. So I have to shape you into the way I need you to be in order that I will get welcomed at some point in the future. And that's what we're all working on. And that means dismissing, this deep act of dismissing ourselves and of dismissing other people because in some way they don't measure up.
Yeah.
So Steve's call for us here is, it's what it actually is, I think, is it's an act of necessary dignity, of conferring dignity on ourselves and others, to be able to say, you're welcome here exactly as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I won't try to change you. I won't try to have you be otherwise. I'm committed to celebrating you in your perfect uniqueness and giving you a gift of loving your truth and your beauty and your goodness and relishing your luminous brilliance, and being around in such a way that you can give this to yourself too, so that all kinds of possibilities open, and who knows what possibilities they are.
Yeah.
Resourcefulness and creativity.
And I'm seeing it as an invitation for us not to be the people who perpetuate the shame parameters, but to be people who dignify, as you're saying, dignify people wherever they are, whether it's inside or outside of the shame parameters that are present for them or for me, but to welcome the location in any of those cultural, social positionings and internal positionings, whatever they might be, to be the welcome is a really different place to hold in the world than to be the perpetuator of the same boundaries of in and out, good and bad, right and wrong. But to see what my work might be to step beyond those polarities that I find myself confronted with and dignify the reality, like be with what's here rather than what I would want to be here or what I can feel is pulling on me as a standard or something, and not to throw the opportunity of our own invitations out, but to know that even before making an invitation, to be with where something or someone is at has to always be the first step.
all of which calls on us to get onto our own shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that this is where it starts.
Yeah. For sure.
That may be, I imagine, an ongoing topic of our conversation.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that we should end. We're just around about our published time.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that we're doing this again. And I, as always, am feeling very grateful for everyone who's watching, and grateful for Bo showing up and bringing us her glorious aliveness, and grateful for you, Lizzie. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. I'm really grateful, as always, to be here and feel re-sanified, whatever the word is, returned to a sane feel of life by having these conversations and these sources. It's really beautiful.
So thank you, everyone. We will see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
See you. Bye-bye.